This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
And a very, very good morning to everybody. And I must tell you, I know I mentioned it last week and the week before, but driving through Johannesburg at the moment with the jacaranda in full purple bloom, it's breathtaking. And I'm sure in Pretoria too. It's absolutely breathtaking. You feel such a surge of joy when you see it, which is what we all need at the moment. But I'm going to be talking now to somebody, you may not know this, but who helps to bring us all so much joy. Let me explain. Nonsi Kalelo Mpulo is the Director for Marketing, Communications and Commercialization at Sambi. Now, you've probably all heard of Sambi, but you're sitting there or driving along or wondering, what does Sambi stand for? Let me remind you, it's the South African National Biodiversity Institute. And what's more important for you and me, that means that Sambi is in charge of all our botanical gardens at the Pretoria Zoo, of so many of the wonderful places, you know, talking a bit earlier about joy in our lives, places that really bring joy to our lives, whether it's Kirstenbosch, the Walter Sisulu Gardens, the KwaZulu-Natal Botanical Gardens in Pietermaritzburg. We'll talk about some of them as we go on. But first of all, I want to welcome, and she says that's quite all right if I call it Nsiki. So good morning to you, Nsiki, and welcome.
Good morning, Kate, and good morning to your listeners. And thank you for such a wonderful introduction. And thank you for having us on the show.
But it's a true introduction because you do bring so much joy. So you yourself are responsible for marketing. I think it's 11 national botanical gardens and 2 zoological gardens. So it's our natural heritage. And also she's responsible for positioning the Institute, positioning Sambi as a thought leader on biodiversity. Issues like climate change, management, conservation of plant and animal species, all so important to us, not only in South Africa, but all over the world. So let's talk. I think I'm going to quickly run through, Nsiki, the names of the botanical gardens or conservation gardens, as you call them, just so people know what they are. Then I'm going to be coming back with a question. So we've got Kirstenbosch, we've got Huntam, you might not know that one, that's near Foutville in the Northern Cape, Walter Sisulu, Rudaport, Harold Porter, Betty's Bay, the Free State in Bloemfontein, Pretoria. I'm sure Johannesburg Pretoria listeners will know the Karoo Desert National Botanical Garden. That's just in the Hex River, at the foot of the Hex River Range. KwaZulu-Natal, Pietermaritzburg, my favourite, the Lowveld Botanical Gardens just outside Mbombela. And if ever you're driving to Kruger or you're up there in the Lowveld and you haven't been to the Lowveld Gardens, my word, you have missed such a treat. But we'll talk about those in a minute. Then there's Quellora, not quite sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, in the Eastern Cape. That's still under development, but it will be the first in the Eastern Cape. Toyandu in Northeast Limpopo, still a work in progress. The Pretoria Zoo, of course, just to remind you, it is considered one of the top large zoos in the world. I mean, people cite it along with the Bronx Zoo, San Diego Zoo. Okay, so that's just a list. Some of them you'll have been to, some maybe I hope you will go to. But now, Nsiki, this what people perhaps don't know before we talk about the gardens is that part of Zambia's work is research. It's not just sitting there managing very complex and beautiful gardens. It's biodiversity research. Can you tell us about some of this?
Absolutely. There's two main things that we are supposed to do. What we're supposed to do is monitor the state of biodiversity in the country. So one of the reports that we've actually put out this year is the status of biological invasions. So alien plants that, and also organisms that are transported across the country, where they're going from province to province, which aren't necessarily from that province. So we do a report that the minister launched in March this year, and it enables us to then say what kind of interventions need to be made at municipal, at local, and at provincial level to manage these kind of invasive plants, to keep them. Like you will have seen if you've been to our botanical gardens, and lantana is one of those little red and orange plants. Yeah. We need to control that because it's an invasive plant. The very famous shot hole borer beetle, the issue that we had in the Western Cape. Those are the kinds of things that we monitor for and then advise how to manage. The other thing that we do is mapping what looks like what plants appear in what areas. And so that helps us to then say, okay, we're going to increase the number of sort of management authority interventions in one area and decrease in another area. So that helps policymakers then decide what kind of interventions to implement in various places. Today, we have launched a guide to all countries. So we've used a project that has been funded by a French development agency in Namibia, Malawi, South Africa, and Zimbabwe to sort of look at the state of biodiversity across the SADC area. And the conclusions of that are going to help us to meet the requirements of the global biodiversity framework, which is what we're all working towards to kind of manage biodiversity and ensure that we stop the degradation of our biodiversity across the world. So the lessons we're learning from this mapping exercise can be applied across the world.
Oh, so now, okay, you're doing this at quite a research, quite a high level. How do you actually implement it at farm level or in the gardens? I mean, it must be very difficult.
We have such wonderful projects, actually, Kate, that we work on. We call it the Biodiversity Stewardship Program. So we work with farm owners to make sure that they are planting indigenous plants rather than alien plants, to make sure that the, because it's ecosystems, everything is connected, right? So the kinds of plants that occur, let's say, in the Western Cape with fynbos, if you have more of that, then it will have enough food for the animals that need to feed on that. You know, our pollinators, not just bees, but other pollinators use that kind of plant to spread the right kinds of plants in those particular areas. So the Biodiversity Stewardship Program is a really important one because we're then showing farmers how not to be extractive in the way that they do their agriculture. So regenerative farming is also some of the things that we get involved with. That Biodiversity Stewardship Program is funded by the Department of Forestry and Fisheries and the Environment, which we report to. But we also then have other programs like the Citizen Science Program, where we are mapping what biodiversity is out there. And we've just done a global, it's called the Southern African, the Southern Biodiversity Blitz. So what happens there is that you go, it's quite a long name, But you go out into your neighborhood and you see what's in your neighborhood, and then you upload it onto the iNaturalist app. So that's what people can do as a fun thing for themselves, not necessarily as, you know, having
What
to
is
be part of a
Shinky, what
society.
is the app if I want to put it on my phone?
It's called iNaturalist. And it was developed in the US, but it's globally available. And up this, actually, South Africa has been the most active because of our citizen science program on uploading species that we find in our neighborhoods. And we do the Southern African BioBlitz and in October. And then again, in about March, we do the global BioBlitz. So people can, you know, participate whenever they want. It's called iNaturalist, and we do
Is
it with the
with the dot?
Small I.
It's a bit like the bird lasso. You know, I'm a birder, so I you know, when I spot birds, I pop them onto the bird lasso. Now, are the farmers responsive to this program? Or I'm sure the public is.
Absolutely. The farmers are very responsive. You know, we work predominantly in the Eastern Cape in the Biodiversity Stewardship Program, and in the Western Cape and some in Limpopo. So we have, you know, sort of very targeted engagements with landowners. In terms of iNaturalist, we see, because of the fact that we're active in KZN and in the Western Cape, we see a lot of uptake there. We challenge every year, we say to Pretoria, you can do it, you can beat the Western Cape. So we keep trying to get more people involved.
Now, what does it take? So that, as I say, that's a function of Zambi that certainly I didn't know so much about. And thanks for sharing that. Let's go back to the botanical gardens or the conservation gardens. I love that expression that you call them now. I mean, to keep those up and running, how on earth do you do it?
It's quite a massive operation. So Zambi actually employs about 1,000 people altogether. And about 6.5 of those people, 650, are based in the gardens. So we have machine workers who actually, they drive the machine that mows the lawn in the cultivated parts of our gardens. The majority of our gardens have about 30% of the land that they're on is cultivated. So beautiful indigenous land where people can do picnics and enjoy walks. And then 70% is actually natural estate, because we want to preserve the biodiversity that we have in the gardens, not only for research purposes, but also for the enjoyment of the people that come into the gardens. So we have machine workers, we have researchers, we have people who, you know, sell in the kiosks at the zoo, that kind of thing. So it's a quite a massive undertaking. And a major part of what we do is infrastructure maintenance. So it takes a lot of money to run this thing. And that's, and the security that keeps people safe. I mean, we did research a year or two ago, and one of the things that came out is that people use our gardens because they feel safe in those gardens. They want to access beautiful green spaces where they can be peaceful in a safe environment. And that's what we offer. And for a mere, you know, sort of garden entrance fee ranging from 50 rand to 100 rand, the most, the highest fee that we charge for individual visits at Kirstenbosch is 100 rand. And I think, you know, if you've been to Kirstenbosch, you know that it's more than value money, because not only is it just the most beautiful garden in Africa, been voted as such, and so we know, we also have a variety of things we can do there.
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. I'm talking this morning to Nonsi Kalela Mpulo, better known as Nsike, and she is the marketing manager, responsible for marketing and commercialization at Zambi. Just to remind you what Zambi is, it's a South African national biodiversity institute. But as we were saying earlier, they are responsible for our beautiful botanical gardens, from Walter Sisulu to Kirstenbosch to Kruger to the Pretoria Zoo, and we were talking there about research. Now, money. And CK, do you get, no institution gets enough money. But does government listen to you?
Absolutely. I mean, we get a lot of funding from the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment. And precisely because they fund a lot of the work that, we do as part of our mandate, they have to listen to us. We need to give them the policy advice for which they pay us, right? But to manage the botanical gardens is a very different thing because they fund the, research part. We get a lot of funding from, you know, global funders, sort of like the Global Environment Fund funds a lot of our projects because of the work that we do in terms of climate change research. So we do get lots of money from government and from funders, but in order to run our gardens, we need to be financially viable. And that's why we have launched a membership card, which we can talk about in a little bit, which allows people to have unlimited access to our gardens. But we do charge a gate fee. And like I said, it's as small as 50 Rand at some of our gardens. Toyando Weleha is not operational at the moment, so we're not charging people. You can walk up to the gate and look at, you know, sort of how beautiful it's going to be. But at the moment, we're still in the construction phase. And Toyando, although we do charge a 50 Rand, it has been operational. At the moment, it's offline because we're doing some upgrades, adding an educational center. And so a lot of the work that we do actually is about bringing the community closer to nature. And that's the value that we bring. I want to just give a little bit of a grounding. We're just about to open a kids play area at the Pretoria National Botanical Garden. It is going to be complete within the next 5 days. I saw it today. I'm so excited. And so we are wanting to invite people for a small sum of like 80 to 90 Rand. You can spend a whole afternoon at the garden and your children will have a wonderful place to play. There's also a green gym. If you feel like you want to exercise in the outdoors, then that's a wonderful place for you to do it at the Pretoria National Botanical Garden.
Oh, that's such a super idea because, you know, parents want to, or grandparents or whomsoever, like to wander around the garden looking at plants and listening to the birds and bird spotting, and the kids are going, oh, why can't we do something? So now you've got this lovely play area where the children can be, obviously, with somebody, one of the family, to look after them while people go about the gardens. And CK, I'm going to ask you a very loaded question, but I know you'll answer it. What's your favourite garden? I've already
I often get into trouble. You have said Lowveld is your favorite, and I do have to say that Lowveld is a spectacular garden. What is a great feature about Lowveld is that it has the convergence of three rivers inside the garden. And what's beautiful about that is that we have just rebuilt, unfortunately, because of the floods in 2022, the bridge was washed away. It has now been refurbished and is now open again. And so you can have a nice viewing experience across the river and across the three, the crocodile and the other rivers. I don't remember the names. It's a convergence of those waterfalls.
You know, before the floods, before COVID, I've actually stood on that bridge, taken photographs at the waterfall. And also in those gardens, I know. And as I say, if you're driving to the Lowveld, you're going to Mbele, going to Kruger or whatever, it's on the way. It's only a little way out of Mbombela.
That means on the M4.
As you drive, it's got the biggest collection of cycads in South Africa, which is spectacular. And I think I'm right in saying it's got 500 of South Africa's tree species in that garden, as well. And there's a nice little restaurant. And just and Siki, going back to the membership part, so it's a bit like the Parks Wild Card, is it?
That's exactly right. For just 800 Rand for an adult for the whole year, you can come as many times as you like into the garden. So you could come weekly, which it will cost you the equivalent of a cup of coffee if you want to come weekly. So it, you know, it's hardly any money at all, because if you want to go to a movie, it's 100 Rand. So this 800 Rand per adult, if you count food, etc., it's going
And also, even if people don't get a card, there are pensioners' days always at all of the gardens, and some days are free days as well, and students' rates, of course.
Absolutely. So students pay 600 Rand for the annual card, and children 400 Rand. So very, very reasonable. And yes, for pensioners, every single garden has a pensioners' day that people can come in for free. Most gardens is on Tuesday. One or two gardens is on a Wednesday. You just need to go into the SANBI website and find out which day is applicable. But it's mostly Tuesday and it's completely free. The zoo has specific days that they do it on. They will advertise when they're wanting to do that. Kate, you mentioned that they are the beautiful, it's a gorgeous restaurant at Lowveld, but every single one of our gardens has a restaurant. So, you know, when the adult wants to sit down and have a cup of coffee, and then the children at Pretoria Garden want to play, it's the same. At Walter Sisulu, the restaurant also overlooks the children's area. So it's, you know, it's a safe environment for kids to be able to play and adults to relax.
I think that's a very important point you've made about safe spaces, because you can also take a picnic, you can have a lovely, lovely day out with all the family. And of course, at some of the gardens, like there are concerts, there are events, there are all kinds of stuff going on. Now, this treat yourself, you've got this treat yourself message. Tell us about that.
Well, so what we wanted to do was invite people to treat themselves to a lovely experience. So if you wanted to, say, have a bachelorette or a baby shower, it's a treating kind of experience. And so we wanted to invite people to come into the gardens to have those kinds of things, as you say, birthday parties, etc. But on an everyday basis, you know, people, particularly in the last 4 years, have been going through really difficult times. And so what we want to do is take a bit of self-care time. And treating yourself to a walk in nature is not only beneficial to just your mind, but also your body, right? So you're actually absorbing oxygen, and you get clarity when you're doing a walk and you're thinking. So you're treating yourself in a kind way. So it's a dual meaning, sort of giving yourself a reward, but also just self-care, which is what we wanted to invite people to do.
And also, what's special is many of these conservation gardens, you're calling them now, have hikes and trails. You know, you can be super fit and do quite a long trail, or you can do a self-guided trail, or you can just amble along at your own pace. Did you say Pretoria was your favourite?
I have to confess that Walter Sisulu is my favorite. Walter Sisulu is my favorite, not only because it's right on my doorstep. I live in Sandton, and so it's literally a 20-minute drive to get there. But their hiking trail, for me, I use it as a training hiking trail. So it's 3.5 kilometers up and down, so 7 kilometers in total. But it is a very good, challenging hike. And so that's in the natural part of the estate. And then thereafter, after that, you can sit in the cultivated part and have a picnic and enjoy that. So I'm afraid it's going to have to be Walter Sisulu. I have to say, I haven't tried to hike at Kirstenbosch, because I think that's a very challenging trail, Skeleton Gorge. But that's also, it's got a beautiful trail. And the Free State Garden also has a lovely trail. So the majority of our gardens do have that option. So,
and also,
you know, whatever you want to do.
Goodness, we were talking about birds earlier on. I mean, at the Walter Sisulu Gardens, for example, in Rudeport, you've got the black eagles, Verreaux eagles, with cameras on that nesting site, which I follow, which has been, I've taken my grandchildren there to see the eagles. So exciting for them. Do you have cameras anywhere else?
Actually, that is the unique feature to the Walter Sisulu Botanical Gardens. We just had a chick take its first flight a couple of weeks ago, early in September. And so we had the privilege of, actually, we have the telescopes that are set up for people to watch, so that to have a look at the nest. And so that is a unique feature of the Walter Sisulu. Each garden has its own sort of quirkiness. As I said, you know, Lowveld has got the convergence of the three rivers. Kirstenbosch has got Wurmslang. That elevated walkway is just incredible. You know, looking at Table Mountain on those eastern slopes, it's really, really stunning. And the KZN National Botanical Garden in Maritzburg is the oldest in our portfolio. It's 150 years old this year.
How long? How old?
150 years.
Wow.
So it was established a really long time ago. But talking about birthdays, this week, the Pretoria National Zoological Garden is celebrating its 125-year anniversary. So that's been open for a really long time. And for that, people are getting 50% off the entrance at the zoo. So at the moment, it's 100 Rand. So an adult will pay 50 Rand and a child will pay 35 Rand. So I'm encouraging people to come.
And how long is that open?
It's open until the 1st of November. 3rd of November, sorry, 3rd of November. So over this next weekend.
Do it this weekend. People take the kids, take the grand. And you know, there's all this controversy and lots of chat about zoos. I'm a great zoo fan because I'm lucky, and many of us are lucky. We get to the bush, we get to see animals and birds in the wild. But for so many people, the only opportunity to see a lion, to see an aardvark, or to see monkeys or chimpanzees, the only opportunity is a zoo. So it irritates me when animal activists, I know they have a point, but think of all the pleasure and enjoyment and the I don't know, the Do you have a relationship with other zoos, like the Johannesburg Zoo? Is that part of Sandby? No.
The Johannesburg Zoo is not part of Sandby, but we do have relationships with other zoos. We belong to the World Association of Zoos and Aquariums and the Pan-African Association of Zoos and Aquariums. So we take learnings from zoos across the world. But what also, just on the same tip that you were talking about, Kate, the children that come to the zoo, for me to see their faces light up from seeing animals that they would never have had a chance to visit to see, is for me the most wonderful thing about people coming to the zoo, is that they wouldn't be able to experience that. So there's a massive educational aspect of what we do at the NZG and also at the botanical gardens. We have buses and buses of children who will never see a lion or a tiger or, you know, a capybara, which we have. I like to see the children's faces light up when they have that experience. And also just, you know, sensitizes them and, you know, gives them the context of being part of nature. And then that helps them then to sort of take care of the environment in which they are operating. And that's what we want to inculcate. It's part of our mandate, is we must learn to look after biodiversity because it will look after us. You know, nature is what feeds us. not only from a spiritual perspective, but also from the plants, right? And so we want to make sure that we're being responsible about how we use nature so that we can have it for not just us, but for future generations as well.
And you know, national parks, do you have a relationship with South African National Parks?
Absolutely. We all report to the National Department of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment. So we're sister organizations and we do work together very closely in, you know, sort of some of our conservation projects.
And you know, going back to you and me and ordinary people like us, we can help. Going back to the invasive plants, don't buy exotic plants, buy indigenous plants. Even if you haven't got a garden, maybe you've got a little veranda or a little space or a little yard, have a plant in a pot, for example.
Yes.
The pleasure you get from something growing and nurturing it and watching the bees come and the birds too. Now,
absolutely.
How on earth, and CK, I mean, you're so passionate about what you do. And as I said, it's such a lovely thing to be involved in. I know there must be lots of challenges and hiccups. How did you, have you always personally had this passion for nature?
Actually, yes, Kate. I have since I was very, very young. I've been really what people are calling a tree hugger. So I'm an activist for the environment, even when I was at school, very extremely aware of the role that we as people play in taking care of the environment. And so it actually was inevitable that I came to Sandby 3 years ago to help to teach people. And what we are learning now is that what we call ecological infrastructure, so rivers, wetlands, and you know, dune forests, we need to take care of them because they help us in flood situations. They help us to manage storms, you know, that like we had most recently in KZN. So if we manage those kinds of areas where we unblock drains, we don't throw rubbish into riverways, waterways. That way, people then, it won't flood. I mean, we had the same situation just now in Gqeberha, where there were floods, and that was a lack of maintenance. So what we want to teach people is that the little action that you take of not buying plastic or not using plastic and not throwing your rubbish into a general waste and rather recycle helps to maintain what we call ecological infrastructure. And so everything is interconnected. And that's what I'm passionate about is, you know, sort of connecting people and nature.
Do you know, I'm just going to finish. Many, many moons ago, I was very fortunate. I interviewed the Dalai Lama. I'm talking maybe 30 years ago. And he said to me at the time, and in those days, it wasn't as accepted and well known and almost cliched as it is now. He said, never forget the interconnectedness of all things.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, and see you again. Keep up the good work. And don't forget, if you live in Pretoria, Johannesburg, any of these areas, the zoo, half price till the 3rd of November. And in the meanwhile, make use, and I'm sure so many of you already do, of our beautiful, beautiful botanical gardens, conservation gardens, as they're called now.
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
And just to tell you a wee bit more about some of the botanical gardens, you all know Kirsten Bosch, I'm sure. And I did mention Huntam, which is in Newarkville in the Northern Cape. And that's got succulent karoo. Also, some lovely, lovely trails. I haven't been there yet. We talked about Walter Sisulu and the Verrows, the black eagles there. And as CP said, they've just had a check. Just Google Walter Sisulu Botanical Gardens and go onto the camera and you can actually see the nest. It's such a special thing to do. I have been to the Harold Porter Gardens there in Betty's Bay. And if you've been there, you'll know it's coastal fynbos and waterfalls and pools. If you get a good day, you know how tricky the Cape weather can be. But that's a lovely place also to go for walks. I didn't know what Nsiki told us, that the gardens in Pietermaritzburg are the oldest in South Africa. There's something I haven't yet done. And where else? The Karoo Desert National Botanical Garden. I haven't been there afterwards. And there's even a Richtersveld Botanical Garden. So there you go. The best thing is, if you want to know more, it's a very good website. It's very user friendly. Just Google Sanby, Sanbi. I think it's Sanby. I don't know if it's .com or .co.za, but if you just put Sanby into your browser, you'll get loads of information, and it will tell you visiting times, costs, what days are free, what days are for pensioners. They're really very, very user friendly website. And as Nsiki said, all the gardens have got a restaurant of some kind where you can have a snack. And the Pretoria, as she said, have just opened this play area, which is so nice too. So there you are, lots to do now that summer's come. I want to tell you a book I've just read. I actually sat down and read it last night, published by Picador Africa. It's called Exit Wounds, A Story of Love, Loss, and Occasional Wars. And it's by Peter Godwin. I'm hoping to be able to interview him in the not too distant future. It's a quite extraordinary memoir of an extraordinary family. And it starts with Peter. Peter was born in Rhodesia, and you may well have read some of his earlier bestsellers. There was Makiwa, and When a Crocodile Eats the Sun, and a third book called The Fear. And of course, he's totally non persona grata in Zimbabwe. Not persona grata. If he went there now, he'd be put into jail and probably have his head chopped off. But this memoir starts really with his mum, who was a doctor in a remote area of Zimbabwe for 50 years. She tended to people. She worked in a leper colony, as I did once in Nigeria. And his mum is now 90, and she started, as many people do when they get older, she starts to talk about her past and her family, which, as a very much stiff British upper lip family, you know, be a good little soldier, don't cry, don't complain, don't show emotion. She begins to tell Peter about not only her life, but together they reminisce. And one of the incredibly surprising things he finds out is that his father was Jewish. He had absolutely no idea, because his father never let on. His father's parents were killed in Treblinka in the Polish concentration camp. And for whatever Peter's father's reasons were, he kept quiet all his life about being Jewish. Some of the reasons that Peter tries to explore. So I couldn't put it down. I was very, very moved by it. As I say, he was born Peter Godwin. He was born and raised in Rhodesia. He's won so many awards. He was a war correspondent for many years, which scarred him deeply. Some of the things he saw in the Sudan and other war-torn places scarred his soul. Couple he writes about, and in not too graphic detail, but scarred his soul totally. And he now, I think he's retired now. Maybe he still teaches writing at Columbia in the States. He lives in the States now. It's quite interesting that the book cover has a swallow, because as he said, where do swallows belong? They go north in the winter to Europe. They come south in the summer to Africa. But where exactly is their home? And what does home mean? What does home mean to you? What does home mean perhaps to your parents or your siblings? It's a very, very interesting concept. But it's a lovely book. It's very moving, totally unforgettable. I went to bed thinking about this. I woke up actually thinking about it. It's called Exit Wounds, published by Picador, by Peter Godwin. And you'll find it in all good bookshops at the moment. Read it yourself and then give it as a Christmas or a festive present to somebody that you think would appreciate it. Okay, I think that's all for this morning. Have a very good week. I'm about to set off on my travels. I've told you I'm updating a very big guidebook called Foda's Essential Guide South Africa. I'm off to the Lowveld to visit all kinds of lodges, all kinds of places. So I'll report back to you next week. In the meantime, travel safely, look after yourselves, and look after others too.